I think following the rhythm of the natural world makes me feel more calm. Gretel Ehrlich says that everything in nature constantly invites us to be what we are. I think that's it for me, trying to kind of live an authentic life.
That's Karen Offenen, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Karen Offenen is an award-winning poet, mountain woman, and writer. Her work has appeared in the New York Times, Real Simple, The Rumpus, and numerous literary journals. She lives in the Colorado Rockies and teaches film, pop culture, and storytelling at the University of Colorado Boulder. She joins us to talk about her book, Rough Beauty, 40 Seasons of Mountain Living. Karen, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
This book is your story. So what moved you to share this story with readers?
You know, the impetus for Rough Beauty really came because I lived in a wood stove heated cabin at 8,500 feet by myself for 10 years. And the book is largely about that. But people kept asking me, why are you living up there? And why are you living alone? And aren't you afraid? And aren't you lonely? And you know, first of all, I want to point out that these aren't questions that anyone asks a man if they're living alone in a cabin in the woods. I kind of wanted to answer that question, why landscape, why the mountains, and why alone? And it was interesting to kind of turn around and look back at those 10 years. And they actually start when I had moved to the mountains to kind of be a writer, and I had an acre of land. It was just me and my dog, and I had my 4 part-time jobs, which is what writers do. 9 months after I moved into that cabin, my house burns down. I lose all my writing. I lose all my books. I lose all my possessions. The only thing that survives is me, my truck, and my dog. I had to start over, and so I moved to this other cabin and spent 10 years kind of rethinking and looking at my choices in life and looking at the way I've isolated myself from people and society. And in the end, you know, landscape works on you, and it kind of brought me back to myself.
Well, let's talk about that a bit more, about, you know, why you made that decision to live by yourself so you could pursue your writing.
Well, you know, I mean, I told myself it was because I needed to pursue my writing, but honestly, I was really running away. I mean, a couple factors really asserted themselves when I wanted to move to the mountains. The first was that I had a really transient childhood. My dad was in the Air Force and we were kind of kicked around. I say in the book when I covered little bits of my childhood that we were like tumbleweeds. And there was really no container of family to hold me and no kind of landscape or place to hold me. My family wasn't close. Our people didn't belong anywhere. And then inside the crucible of my family, I had a pretty violent childhood. So I was actually kind of walking away from those kinds of connections, thinking, you know, this is really not for me. It doesn't feel very healthy. And so I was, you know, I was running away. And then the second factor really is what I call my cowgirl ethos. You know, the messages I got when I was growing up was that I was meant to be weak. I was supposed to play a supporting role in somebody else's life, and that I wasn't supposed to have my own kind of big life or my own heroic journey. And I also wasn't too happy about that. So I think I just escaped to the mountains, as, you know, actually, quite frankly, many people who live on the outskirts of society do. A lot of people are outliers for one reason or another. And so I went to live in the woods, and I thought landscape is the place. The mountains are the place where I feel the most myself. There's kind of a wildness out there that I feel like, you know, perhaps mirrors a wildness I feel inside.
So what did that experience teach you about yourself?
Well, it really kind of coaxed me back into myself. I'm really a person who likes to be quiet. I really prefer a distractionless life. So, you know, the city and the noise of the city and people is just not me. I know that there are people who feed off that kind of energy, and that is just not for me. I like to live in a place where I feel like the land still is how it's been for a really long time. You know, like this morning I had a couple foxes in my yard, and we have bears and moose come through. And, you know, we live largely without the distraction of streetlights. And all these things are really important to me. And what it teaches me is to follow the natural world. So when it's cold outside, I'm inside, you know, next to the fire. And when it's warm, we're outside. You know, we have about an acre and a half now, and right now we're clearing brush because fire season is upon us. And I think following the rhythm of the natural world makes me feel more calm. Gretel Ehrlich says that everything in nature constantly invites us to be what we are. I think that's it for me, trying to kind of live an authentic life.
You mentioned earlier that you saw foxes this morning, and you write about an encounter with a bear in the book as well.
Well, yeah, there were a couple of encounters. One of them is the one morning I woke up, it was spring, and in the wintertime, I had a very tiny cabin, and in the wintertime, sometimes I would put my trash out in the wood box that night, and then it would freeze overnight, and then I would take it to the dump the next day. And it was late spring, and I should have known. And I heard some bumping on the deck. And usually, sometimes, you know, like the ravens would get into it, or there was a neighborhood dog who would come over. And I ran to the curtain, and I opened the curtain, and I pounded on the window. And I, about the fourth pound, I realized there's a bear right there on the other side of the window, about 4 inches from the glass. And that was very exciting to me. I'm not really afraid of bears. I'm cautious, of course. It's a wild animal. But the bear kind of turned and went down my steps and into my driveway. And so I ran out into the yard and to watch it kind of amble down the road and across over to my neighbors. So, you know, we definitely don't want the bears coming around because they think that you're the feeding pen. So, you know, the trash goes back in. And I was extra careful after that, because once a bear kind of knows that they can get food at your place, they will keep coming and be a nuisance. And that usually ends very badly for the bear.
I want to come back to something you mentioned before, and that is that pivotal moment where your cabin was destroyed by fire. I'm sure that was devastating, but as you write, you know, it's like many experiences in life, there are, in retrospect, lessons to be learned. What did you take away from that experience?
Well, the biggest thing is that I actually couldn't really live my life alone, that I couldn't do it all by myself. And, you know, because of this, you know, kind of childhood and family that I came from, I felt like I felt part of it was because I just didn't ever really learn to trust people. And part of it was because I thought, you know, I'm going to show people that I'm really strong and that I can do it all by myself and that I'm not weak. And, you know, I was shorn of everything and I was a renter. I had no insurance. I had no way to get back on my feet. And what happened is the town of Jamestown, Colorado, which is the mountain town that was about 4 miles from where I lived and where I worked at the Jamestown Mercantile Cafe as a cook part-time, they threw me a benefit. And so this is a mountain town that I kind of, you know, I've kind of kept my distance and I kind of maybe even looked down my nose thinking, you know, I'm not like these people. And it was a really vast collection of all kinds of people. You know, mountain people are people with PhDs and people who are laborers and people who are hippie wannabes and people who are real hippies from the 60s. And there's all kinds of people in the mountains, people who carry guns and, you know, want to just live their lives by themselves. And so the town throws me a benefit, and people I didn't even like and I knew for sure did not like me show up to this benefit. And they bid on items and they donate money and they raised thousands of dollars for me so I could get back on my feet at 40. And I realized, wow, this is community. Community isn't a bunch of people who are like-minded, kind of standing around holding hands, singing kumbaya. Community is a place, is a relationship. And that relationship is more important than the individual. So that when somebody needs help, even if you don't like them in Jamestown or whatever your community is, you show up for them because it's for the community. And I was so moved by that. So I start to get involved with the community and I really kind of come back to the land of the living and I stop isolating myself so much. I think that was the thing that I realized, that people can be so kind and generous. And that was incredible for me to experience.
This book, you talk about your childhood, and it takes readers on an arc, you know, from your childhood through these experiences. And you write that you were a storyteller from an early age, and that's something you've carried throughout your life. What do you think that's been important to you?
You know, that's interesting. I mean, at first I just told stories to myself. So I had a story that I told myself when I was about 10, like why, how things are. I used to get a ringing in my ears. And I thought that it was because I had an alien family, that I was really from the stars somewhere. And my family had come to Earth and I had gotten lost and they had to go back. And the ringing was them trying to tell me how to get home, which really is essentially a story about how I felt like an alien in my own family. But I, so there's the magic of stories. But then as I grew up, they were my refuge, you know, from my family, which was violent and unpredictable and scary. So I would go to the library every night and work and read. And I just fell in love. Stories are the thing that connects us to people and to each other and to other worlds. And stories are possibility. And there's a part of me, no matter how kind of jaded and hard I've been in my life, there's a part of me that really does believe in possibility. And there's a part of me that really believes in hope. And I feel like we find those things in stories.
My guest is Karen Offenen. The book is Rough Beauty, 40 Seasons of Mountain Living. Karen, thank you very much for talking with me today.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet. You can sign up for the Conversations podcast on iTunes, and you'll also find us on Facebook. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.